This is Rob Orem. Thanks for listening to my podcast. The next episode will start in just a moment. But before it does, I'd like to ask you for a favor. Actually, two favors. If you're finding my podcast to be helpful to you, it would be really helpful to me if you would click on the follow or subscribe button. There's no cost involved at all, but that would just help boost my listenership. Also, if you'd be willing to just take a minute and write a brief review, that would be really helpful to me as well. Thanks for considering doing that. And now, on to today's episode. Well, all right. Welcome back once again. Today, I want to talk about intimacy in marriage. And I know right away, if there are guys listening, they're automatically thinking this is about sex. And I want to tell you up front, it's not. But then again, maybe in some ways it might be. Because the things I'm going to talk about today can improve the intimacy in your marriage relationship in every way, in every area, on every level. So, listen closely. One of the most amazing verses in the Bible, and there are many, is Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. And it reads, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife." And here it comes, "and they shall become one flesh." This whole idea of two people becoming one, we can't fully comprehend it with our limited human minds. And yet we do know it's something God does when a man and a woman come together and make a commitment, a covenant in marriage. We know that it's something He wants to be permanent. It's something only He can do. And implied in this oneness is an incredible closeness and connection and intimacy that a husband and a wife have together that they don't experience anywhere with anyone else. That's how God created it. That's how God designed marriage. And yet, I know none of us has this perfectly. And some of us are really struggling with this intimacy, this closeness, this connection in marriage. Maybe some of us have had it at some times and we've lost it. Maybe some of us have only experienced it to a certain level. Maybe some of you are just feeling distant from your spouse, even like a stranger, maybe even an enemy. And so what I want to talk about today are three specific strategies. That's my word I like to use, that you can implement in your marriage relationship that will improve the intimacy in your marriage. And I want to put a guarantee with this. I guarantee if you will implement these strategies, ideally both of you, but even one of you, it will help you to feel closer to your spouse. It will grow the connection and increase the intimacy in your marriage. Now, I'll say up front, these strategies are not easy. You're going to need God's help, divine intervention to do them. But they are possible, and I believe God wants to help you do them. So let me jump right into it. Strategy number one, and again, this is not rocket science, okay? I've talked about some of these things before. They're worth talking about again. And even though they may be obvious, that doesn't mean they're easy. Strategy number one is you have to intentionally work to improve your communication. And in fact, before I forget, I did a previous episode. It's actually season number one, episode number one. The very first episode of this podcast I ever did was all about improving communication in marriage. So I want to encourage you, if you've never listened to that, or if it's been a while, go back and listen to that episode, because I get into some real nitty-gritty steps that I don't have time to in this episode. But the point is, you have to intentionally work on improving your communication. And let me give you a Bible verse that kind of is a good summary of three steps that I want to highlight today. This is James chapter 1 and verse 19. James wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit, "You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." Here are the three steps: listen, speak, and be slow to get angry. I'm going to call that be patient, all right? So let's talk about listen. Listening is more than just waiting your turn to respond to whatever the person is saying. The kind of listening that you need to work on and develop is listening to understand. You're trying to understand how your spouse is feeling, what your spouse is thinking, what they're wanting and needing. You're trying to put yourself in their shoes. That's the kind of listening that you need to do. And that's going to take practice. The thing with all these steps about communication, they can be accomplished through practice. It's not like only certain people with the spiritual gift of listening can do this. No, no. Everybody can get better at listening if you want to and if you try to. Everybody can get better at communicating if you want to and you really try to. So the first step is to be quick to listen. Listen first to try to understand. The second part of this is being slow to speak. So at some point you need to speak. You need to share what you're thinking, how you're feeling, what you're wanting, what you're needing, but you need to do it appropriately. And here's one of my favorite verses. I've mentioned it before. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 gives us instruction on how to speak. Speaking the truth in love. In other words, speaking the truth honestly, transparently, and yet speaking it in love. Humbly, respectfully, appropriately. That is how we are to speak to each other. And I know when there are tensions and conflicts, these things get thrown out the window. And that's just not okay. That is not going to help your communication. You're going to have to ask God to give you the self-control. Number one, to listen, and to listen to understand. And number two, to speak the truth in love. But you need to speak as well, because your spouse needs to know who you are and what's going on inside. I see this a lot in marriages between husbands and wives, where the wife is trying to pull out of the husband what's going on inside, because that's how she's going to feel closer and more connected. So the third step of this communication improvement is the slow to get angry, which I'm relabeling be patient. Be patient in this process. It can be frustrating. Your feelings might get stirred up or hurt, or you might get angry, but you need to have self-control. And sometimes you're misunderstanding things and you're making assumptions. This is one of the biggest problems. So if you are hearing something you don't like before you respond out of your emotions, you need to ask questions to get clarification. It sounds to me right now like you're saying this and such, and that's upsetting me, but I want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly. Is this what you're saying? And the other person goes, no, 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 that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm trying to communicate here. You need to ask. Asking is okay. And if you get asked by your spouse, don't respond being all defensive. Remember, you're working together to try to improve your communication. to try to better understand each other and to be more understood by one another so you can grow closer together. So put your pride aside, and this may involve letting go of some past hurts, and ask God to help you to do these steps. So the good news is, as I mentioned earlier, you can grow and improve in communication if you want to, and that's a big factor, and then if you're willing to intentionally try to start getting better. And that's going to take effort, and it's going to be a process that's going to take time. But if you do that, I'm just telling you, this is the number one intimacy increaser, getting better at talking together. And as you get better, you're going to be able to talk about bigger, more intense, more difficult issues that maybe right now are causing a lot of tension and conflict. So start with smaller issues, put this stuff into practice, ask God to help you, and see what happens. That's strategy number one. Strategy number two for how can I feel closer to my spouse? How can I feel more connected? How can we improve our intimacy? Strategy number two is you have to spend more happy time together. You have to spend more happy time together. You need to intentionally carve out time to do fun, enjoyable things together. This life gets so complicated. There's so many pressures. And if you have children, they can take all your time and energy. So you have to make sure you create opportunities to spend time together that you enjoy. Let me give you a Bible verse about this. And you may have heard this verse before, but this is in a really different context, but I still think it fits. This is something Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. He said, "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." Now, he was talking specifically about money and possessions, but I think the principle is that wherever you have treasure, that is going to draw your heart there. So what I'm talking about doing in this strategy is challenging you to create treasured times together, treasured experiences, treasured memories, because when you have those together, that is going to draw your heart toward each other. You're going to naturally feel good about those things and feel good about your spouse. You're going to have positive memories. And times together don't include doing the bills or preparing the taxes or taking care of an aging parent or discussing problems with your kids or running errands or doing groceries. None of that. I'm talking about going out together and doing things that you both like, so you can enjoy your time spent together, so you can remember why you got married, so the attraction can be renewed, and so you have times to look back on with fondness in the midst of all the pressures and the stresses and the difficulties. Having fun together needs to be a priority. If you only have times of tension and conflict, it's understandable you're going to grow apart and your positive feelings are going to disappear. Spending time together is going to increase the intimacy in your marriage. And so you need to make that a priority. And in busy schedules, in this busy world, you have to intentionally make it happen, whether it's a weekly date night or something more than that. It's up to you. But you need to make it happen. So that's strategy number two. Spend more happy time together. If you do that, you're going to like each other more. You're going to be around each other, want to be around each other more. You're going to feel closer. You're going to feel more trust and feel more comfortable being open and honest and sharing with each other. Strategy number three. This really should be number one, but I'm saving the best for last here. Strategy number three is you have to focus your life, your lives, and your marriage on God. And I don't want to over-spiritualize this, but I do not want to under-spiritualize this either. Here's the Bible verse. I'm trying to present a verse with each strategy today. James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And as you draw closer to God, you're going to draw closer to each other. I want to try and give you a picture in your mind of this. Imagine a triangle, you know, with the point at the top and the two other points at the bottom. And on the lower left-hand point is you, the lower right-hand point is your spouse, and the top point, of course, is God. As you guys move individually towards God up the sides of that triangle, you notice you're each moving closer to each other as well. That is such a great picture of what happens. As you each grow closer in your intimacy with God, that is going to draw you closer to each other and increase the intimacy in your marriage. So how do we do this? How do we grow closer to God? You know, again, this is not rocket science. They're just some fundamental things that we all, as believers, as Christ followers, need to do to nurture our personal relationship with God. How do we do this? We pray and we talk to him all the time. We let him talk to us through his word, through the Bible. We spend time reading and studying and listening to the Bible. We spend time together with other people in Christian community or fellowship with other believers who are seeking to grow closer to God. We do our best to try to live in obedience to God. And when we mess up, and we will mess up because nobody's perfect, we confess. We immediately confess our sin. We repent of it, and we receive God's forgiveness and his cleansing. We serve him with whatever spiritual gifts and natural talents and abilities and opportunities he gives us. We get involved in serving him in some way. If we do all of these things, we're going to grow closer to God. And as we grow closer to him, we're going to be closer to each other. And that's going to really help and improve the intimacy in our marriage. And don't just do these things I mentioned individually and personally. Do them together as a couple. Pray together. Study God's word together. Go to church together. Get involved in a small group or a Bible study together. Serve together. Do those things together. And as you do, you're going to grow in your relationship with the Lord, which is going to have a huge impact in your life personally, and you're going to grow closer together as you both become more Christ-like. Isn't that going to benefit your marriage and your family? For sure. So those are three strategies that you can actually begin to implement today, and I tried to make them very specific and very practical. So if you're not content right now with the level of intimacy in your marriage, these are some things you can do. Now, what do you do? What if my spouse won't do these things? Well, I still believe if you personally will start to work on these things, you start to be a better communicator. You start to speak the truth in love and work on listening better and asking questions. And you initiate trying to schedule some more fun activities or experience together. And you personally seek the Lord more. Make him a priority in your life. If you individually will do these things, even though you can't control your spouse, you can influence him or her by your choices and your actions and your priorities. So start there and see what God might do in you and through you. Because the bottom line is, God created marriage. He created men and women. He's the one who brings them together and makes them one flesh. He created family. He wants to bless your marriage. He's a good God. He loves you. He wants to help you grow closer to him, of course, and also to each other. And he is available and here to help you do this if you will let him And the best way you can let him help you is to seek him, to pursue an individual personal relationship with him, and do these things I've talked about today. And with his help, he will use these strategies to make a huge impact in the intimacy in your marriage. Thanks for listening. I want to invite you to visit my website at roborum.com. That's R-O-B-B, two B's, O-R-A-M.com. You can learn more about me and my counseling practice, and you can also reach out to me to schedule an appointment or a speaking engagement. And also, just a reminder, if you'd be willing to click on the follow or subscribe button, and maybe write a brief review, that would be super helpful and appreciated. Thanks.